believers in Christ, and because of that, they were being persecuted. This morning, if you would take your Bibles and open to the book of Hebrews, the epistle of Hebrews in the New Testament, we're going to be looking at a few verses in chapter 1. But as you're turning there, understanding that the author with the whole book of preview Hebrews had a purpose. And he was wanting them to understand and to reassure the believers that their faith in Christ was secure. The world today wants us to think at times that our faith is not secure, that faith might not be the answer. The author wanted to encourage the believers to persevere in their faith in Christ. And the author wanted to let the believers know that Christ was the answer. It doesn't matter what it seems around us, we rely on our faith, and our faith is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And we're going to see here today in just a moment how God has spoken to people in the past and how God speaks today and what the importance of that is. Because let me tell you, it is worth everything that it takes to persevere in Christ, because Christ is real. Christ is the Son of God, and Christ is the one who has bought our freedom with His life. Would you stand with me this morning as we read from Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the world. And He is the radiance of the glory and the exact representation of His nature, and upholds all things by the word of His power. When He had made purification of sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, and has inherited a more excellent name than they. Father God, this morning would You speak. Father, I pray that You would open our minds and our hearts to You, and that Holy Spirit would speak and we would have the freedom to hear this morning. Father, remind us today of who You are, who Your Son is, and Father, how great our salvation is. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We know for a fact, because we're living in it today, that God has created the world. And from the very beginning of creation, God has existed. He has always existed. He was never created. It tells us that in the beginning, even before time began, God was there. His Son Jesus, the Word, the living Word, was there, and the Holy Spirit was there, and that it was through them that everything was created. And from the moment that God created man, He so loved man that He has been speaking to man ever since. His main part of speaking is to tell man who He is. Because let me tell you today, God is so great that in our minds we cannot fathom the greatness of who He is. But God wanted us the best that we could to understand His love for us and who He was. So the first thing I want us to look at this morning is how God spoke to people. You know, God speaks to people. God has spoken to people. And the author of Hebrews began by telling us that God spoke through the prophets. Look there at verse 1. God, after He spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways. There are two words that describe Jesus, or two of them, is prophet and priest. What we must understand today, and as you read the Bible, prophet and priest serve two different roles. You see, the prophet represents God to man. God speaks through prophets. God reveals who he is. The priest is the one that represents man to God. Well, it tells us that long ago, before Jesus came, that God spoke to man through prophets. There were men on earth that God chose to be the liaison between him and us, to tell us what his laws were, to tell us who he was, to tell us who we were. In Deuteronomy, we see where God was raising up some prophets. Deuteronomy 18:18. I will raise up a prophet from among their countrymen like you. God is speaking to Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. So God has spoken through prophets. We read about prophets in the Old Testament. That's how God chose to speak in the days long ago. We know many prophets. There was Moses. There was Ezekiel. There was Isaiah. You open up, I tell you, one of the easiest ways is if you'll open up to the very front of your Bible, just a couple of pages in. There is a little page there that's called the glossary or the index, and it lists all the books of the Bible. Look in the Old Testament, a lot of those books you're going to see are names. Those are names of prophets. It's recorded throughout history who these prophets were, and it was recorded of what God was speaking to them, to the people. So he was speaking in the prophets. He was speaking through the prophets. He chose man to be the one that he communicated through. But God knew that at a certain point in time in history, he would change the direction of how he would speak to man. Not only did God speak through prophets, but God spoke to us through Jesus Christ, his Son. Amen? We're going to see Jesus Christ, his Son. Look at verse 2. It says, in the last days has spoken to us in his Son. God's own Son is how he chose to speak to us. He sent his Son from heaven to earth to clothe over his glory, his majesty, because we could not stand to withhold it in its fullness. But he was God, and he came down in man through the Son, and Jesus spoke to the people there. It's recorded in our scripture, and all of the New Testament is talking about who Jesus is. So today, there is good news for us. God is not speaking to us through quote-unquote prophets as he used to. On this side of the grave, amen, God has spoken to us through the living Word, his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a copy of that. But there's something special about this because Jesus, God's Son, is what? It tells us there that he is heir of all things. Look there at verse 2. It said, to whom he appointed heir of all things. Jesus Christ has inherited all things, have been put into subjection under him. We're building up to a point, so follow me here. Because this is who God has chosen to speak to us through. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 says, and he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. When Christ was obedient to the Father and he came, he lived a perfect life, he died on the cross, he rose again, he's ascended up, and he has inherited all things. Well, guess what? As God's children, as believers, we become co-heirs with Christ. We get to receive this inheritance. Not only is Jesus Christ heir of all things, but Jesus Christ was the one involved in making the creation as we know it today. The Apostle John wrote in the Gospel according to John, He wrote in chapter 1, verse 3, "All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." God spoke it. Jesus was the action that made things happen in the creation. The Holy Spirit was hovering over, God speaking, Jesus building, Jesus making. I want you to see the authority that this one has, that Jesus has. So when time gets difficult, yes, we understand who Jesus is. All of us in this room know that. Do not think that I think you're stupid. But remember that being reminded is helpful. And I believe as we're entering into a new year, we need to be reminded of these things, because just standing here and looking at all of you, there is no one that I know of in this room in the last 2 weeks hadn't gone through something that was difficult. It's just here and it's upon us, and we need to be reminded, because you see, he was writing to the Hebrews. Why was it so important that he was writing and encouraging the Hebrews? Because what was fixing to happen to the Hebrews is the temple, their way of worship, was fixing to be gone. Because you see, in Judaism, you had to go to the temple in Jerusalem. You had to bring your animal for sacrifice, and you had to do it all the time. Every year, they had to make a journey to offer this sacrifice. The temple's fixing to be gone away with. Where are they going to do the sacrifice? God is telling them there's a new way. I'm not speaking through the prophets of old. I'm now speaking through my son, who is that sacrifice. The one who had died on the cross for all, once and for all. Praise the Lord. Jesus didn't have to die multiple times. The power and the life in his blood was so powerful it took one time. Through his obedience to die on that cross. He is heir of all things. He made the world. It tells us that he was the radiance, or your version might say the brightness of his glory. Jesus, we read in Scripture on the Mount of Transfiguration when he was there praying, and a few of his close people there, they saw a bright light. They began to see his glory come through. Only a portion. Because we in flesh cannot behold his glory. But Jesus, the Son of God on earth, was that brightness. It was the radiance of who he was. But more than that, Jesus wasn't just another man. It tells us that Jesus was the exact, did you hear me? The exact representation of God's nature. Finishing out the first, second part of verse 3, and it says, "And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature." Who Jesus was God. Jesus even said in Scripture, "You've seen me, you've seen the Father." So Jesus isn't just any other ordinary person. He's not just the Son of God. He was God. He was God in flesh, and God was speaking to us through that flesh. He still speaks to us today through that flesh, because it's recorded right here in Scripture. Understanding that God chose us today to live in the time that he wasn't just speaking through a prophet. He was speaking through the prophet, his son, directly to us. What does that mean? Why is it the necessity of him speaking through Christ? You know, Christ was more than just a prophet. He was more than just a priest. More than the Son of God, it's who he was. And secondly, I want us to not just see that God spoke through prophets and then through his son, but the necessity of what his son was to us. What it is that we put our faith in 2026. What it is that helps us to persevere and to push through when it's difficult and not just go back to the life we had before. See, that's what the Hebrews were wanting to do. It would have been easier for them to just go back into Judaism and go back into their rituals and what they knew. It would be easier to go back into Judaism and not take the persecution. That sounds just like us. We just changed the name from Judaism and the people of long ago to today, because we're persecuted. I was just thinking last week about some things when I was in high school and other times like that, and we don't always think we're persecuted, but you know, I was never in the in crowd when I was in high school. I was never in the in crowd when I was in junior high. Do you know why? Because I was different than the in crowd. I had someone living in me that changed how I acted, what I said, and what I did. You know how easy it would have been? Let me just go back and just live like the rest of the world. We are persecuted if we stop long enough to look at. Now, fortunately for most of us in here, our lives have never been directly threatened because of it. But as a believer, and because we're different, there are times we're persecuted even with our own family. But what is it that makes us go through? What is it that keeps us persevering in faith when we pray to God and He doesn't answer like we think He ought to? You know, I'm guilty myself, I believe, at times, that some of us, we understand who God is, but if we're really honest and we look inside, how many of us have God as genie in a bottle? I need something, let me rub it. God, answer the way I want you to. Oh, no. Not me. Yeah, look at your prayer sometimes. Look at how you react when He answers, or when He delays, or when He answers and says no. But there's this necessity in Him. Why is that? Because look there at verse 3. It says, when He had made purification for sin, God sent His own Son to be our purification, the one to cleanse us, the one to pay, if we're honest, let's be honest this morning, a debt that we owed. We're the one that sinned, not God. But yet, because of His love, because of our faith we put in Him, He came and He gave Himself for us. He died. He received the ridicule. It was His blood that was shed. It was His body that was beaten. It was His body that in the hour on the cross that God turned for just a brief moment, when the weight, hear me, the weight of every sin in the entire world ever committed, has been committed, or ever was committed, that weight, you know, we feel a little bit of weight of sin, but everybody's weight of sin fell on the shoulders of God's Son on that cross, and He willingly received that because of His love. I believe that I can persevere in faith through what this world throws at me, knowing what He did for us. In the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 14, says, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. He did it because He loves you and me. He did it so that we could come to Him. He did it so that we could be His possession. And guess what? When He hung on that cross and He breathed, "It is finished," He took His last breath and died, our sins were paid for. He went into a tomb, a borrowed tomb, because He was only there for 3 days. And you know, when He did that, the significance and the necessity of Christ is that He finished what God asked Him to do. There's nothing left. It's what the author of Hebrews wanted them to know. There's nothing else you need to do, because Christ has done it all. It was received. It was final. It was fulfilled. The debt has been paid. God shows that because he took his son and brought him up in all power, and he set him down at his right hand. I know I've used the analogy before. When you go out and you mow the yard, or you go out and do work, you're standing and you sit once the job is finished. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. It tells us at the very last part of verse 3 in Hebrews, he sat down after he had made purification. He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Let me read to you another part of Ephesians chapter 1 and listen as this portrays him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? There are, in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ, and he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and power and dominion, and in every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. He completed it. We can persevere in faith knowing that the price has been paid. Yes, out of gratitude we serve and we worship him. But church, there is nothing else that we need to do, and there's nothing that you can do besides receiving that fulfillment. And when that happens, we can persevere in the faith in Christ. It tells us in verse 4 that he had become much better. Might not be quite the English we would use. Miss Sandra, don't get me if it's wrong grammar. I'm just reading the Bible, and I'm going to take it the way he has it, okay? Much better than the angels. The angels created beings that do nothing all day but worship and obey God. Jesus, it tells us, is much better than them. That's the one our faith is in. That's the one reason we continue to go. And it ends with, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. The name of Jesus. Can you say that name with me this morning? Jesus. It's the name above every name. The name with all power, with all greatness, with all glory. It's at the name of Jesus that the demons tremble. It's at the name of Jesus that Satan runs. So regardless, church, of what we're going through in 2026, whatever it may hold for us, my prayer is that we, and I know we will, experience many blessings. But I'm also not ignorant enough to stand here and not think we're not going to go through some difficulty this year. Well, why is that? Because we live in a fallen world, and sin has wrecked this great creation that God has done. And because of that, my word to you from Hebrews this morning is persevere through the faith. Don't turn back. Don't rely on the old ways, but persevere. Yes, you can say this morning that your relationship and your faith in Christ is reasonable. People want things to be reasonable. Let me tell you what, there's nothing better or more reasonable than putting your faith in the one who loved you enough that he gave his life. God's own Son, the top of the world, the one seated at the right hand of the Father. He's the one that God has spoken to through to us. He is the one, this majesty, the one that has purified us, the one that has finished his work, and we must persevere in and through Christ. When you pray, God, get me through this, he will. God, heal me. He may do it instantly. He may choose for His reasons that we don't know that we continue to go through. But what we do know is that we need to persevere in our faith and regardless keep our eyes focused on Him. Because there is no one better and no one else who has done anything greater for you. It really just baffles me sometimes that what I've done and what you've done against a holy God, He loved us enough. He didn't just send a sacrifice. God could have done that. Do you know that? God could have said, all right, here is a lamb and I'm going to paint him purple. And that purple lamb is the one that's going to sacrifice, and it really doesn't cost him anything because he's got 1,000 on the hill. But God chose His own Son to die for you and me. That's reasonable that we put our faith in Him. If God chose it to be His own Son, and God said, this is the way, the whole Old Testament, majority of the Bible, a little over half of the Bible, Old Testament, is all pointing to one coming. And then He comes as God's own Son for us. Let's this year persevere in our faith in Christ. May you bow your heads. Father God, thank You for the reminder. Lord, while we have not been offering animals as sacrifice, You were writing to the Hebrew people who that's what they were used to. And Father, You were reminding them that that was not the way anymore, that they came to You through faith, through Your Son who was that sacrifice. God, You were preparing them for the removal of the temple for a new way of worship. Father, You were encouraging them through reminding them of who Your Son was, how it was to persevere through the difficulty. Father, the amazing thing about Your Word, why it may have been written over 2,000 years ago, Lord, it still has the same message today to us. It's still alive, it's still active. And Your Word is that we're to persevere in the faith in Your Son, that He was that sacrifice. He is the way to You, and He is the one who is alive today. Father, strengthen us in this hour to persevere in that faith in Your Son, not our works and not anything else. And Father God, I just pray everything in the precious and the most holy name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand where you are this morning? I want to give you a moment, if you would, just to bow your heads.